Hear that? Up there in that tree?
Oh, yeah.
Tweet, tweet.
It's me and all my homies love native manu, and it's about to start.
Yeah, it is. No mai, hoki mai, haru mai. Welcome to Me and All My Homies Love Native Manu. Today we will be talking about the kaki, the pride, the black stilt, sorry. And this is the call from the kaki. And here to talk with me today about the black stilt is my homie, absolute icon legend, the dad I've always wanted, conservation expert, my best friend, Pete Tonda.
Oh, Morena. Conservation sort of wannabe expert, but never will be, but am enthusiastic.
Yes, we are very enthusiastic. And just want to emphasise, we don't know much, but I don't know much, but we are.
We find out stuff.
So, e te rangi nei, e te whānau, we're talking about the kaki, which is the black stilt. So, Pete, do you want to tell us about the classification of this bird?
Yeah, of course. So, they're endemic. And so, we've talked about endemic before. Those are native birds, but they're only found in Aotearoa.
Yeah.
So, they're highly endangered, nationally critical species. You know, in 1981 they got down to 23 adult birds. So that's just about done. That's just about extinction territory. But there's been a big program of looking after them, and they're up to about 200 adult birds in the wild at the moment, with a lot of aroha and care gone into it.
A lot of work from our conservation scientists and doc and stuff, eh? Yeah. And we were trying to find some kind of mātauranga Māori around the kaki today, but we didn't find much, but we found a little saying from Aruwhenua Māori School, which is a Māori school in the town I grew up in, Temuka, which says, Rere atu taku pepi, rere atu taku kaki, rere atu me kimi hia kai. Me whaka wātia take whangai. Means fly away my baby, fly away my kaki, fly away in search for food, fly away my adopted one. And that's just a really, really beautiful saying about, you know, showing our manaaki to our taonga species, particularly the kaki, which is so endangered. And I know that now that Aruwhenua Māori School, shout out, is supporting kaki recovery in Canterbury, which is amazing, and is involved with releases of the manu down there. Getting into it, Pete, how would you describe this manu? It's pretty special, eh?
Absolutely special. It's a smaller stilt compared to the pied stilt, which is native, but it's not endemic. It sort of came across from Australia quite some time ago. And you know, the name, the black stilt, kind of gives a bit away. It's black. it's got beautiful black plumage. They've got these lovely
the black stilt, it gives lots away. It's black.
Yeah. It's got lovely long pink legs, very dainty, and it's got a long, thin, sort of black bill. They got sort of red eyes with the black pupil, and they're just dainty wee things.
They're tiny. How tall would you say they are, Pete?
Oh, I think they're about 30 centimetres high or something.
Yeah, they're pretty small.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're super cute, and they're quite hardy. They have to be tough in that environment. But their little chicks, when they're born, they're sort of speckled grey and white.
Mm.
And if there was ever a competition for the cutest manu chick,
absolutely,
that would win it hands down.
Absolutely.
They're just gorgeous.
You were just saying to me, Pete, that you want to have one and keep it in your pocket.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I'll be allowed, but it's a nice thought.
We can dream.
Yes.
And obviously with the low population, these are you've said that these are the rarest wading bird in the world.
That's from my research. That's what they're saying.
Yeah.
They're very rare. But they once were very common.
Yes.
You know, a couple of hundred years ago, they were probably the most common stilt in Aotearoa, and they were spread much wider than the Mackenzie Basin. But because of, a whole lot of reasons we'll get into, they're now limited to the Mackenzie Basin.
Yeah. And so for those who don't know, the Mackenzie Basin is kind of central South Island, around like Lake Tekapo, Auraki, Mount Cook, and like Twizel area. It's a very precious region full of lots of taonga species. And it's, under threat from a lot of things, which we'll get into. We'll go into the Mackenzie Basin because it's actually where my whānau live now, and it's a very special place to me.
Yeah.
And in the Mackenzie Basin all throughout Canterbury is braided river systems.
Yeah.
So braided river systems whānau are like a naturally occurring river system with lots of the same river but lots of different tributaries of that river kind of intersecting and moving separately but then all going out to the sea together. It's a really beautiful, and it's on like a bed of shingle, so it's all a really beautiful system. And so particularly in the Mackenzie Basin, the kaki will be on the Tasman River Basin, which feeds into Lake Pukaki, which that comes off the mountains from the Southern Alps down into Lake Pukaki. So you find them in the riverbeds, you find them in streams, swamps and tarns, sometimes on lake margins, like at Lake Pukaki. And what we also found out from Pete's research this week is that a small number of kaki go up north over the winter. For a little hiding.
Just a few of them. Yeah, I think they make friends with their cousins, the pied stilts, and they see, where are you heading off to? It's getting cold. And they head up to Kafia and the Kaipara.
Yeah.
Not many.
Not many.
Just a few.
And we were just talking about how when kaki were so endangered, like there was not many of them, they were breeding with pied stilts because they didn't have any mating.
You can't, blame them because, if you're looking for a partner and you're looking and you can't find a kaki, the pied stilts are, attractive alternatives. And the thing is, it becomes this hybridization of the gene pool, and they mate for life.
Yeah.
So if a kaki just says, okay, I'm going to partner up with a pied stilt, that's it really for the breeding population of black stilts.
Which is really interesting, eh? Yeah. Do you think, is a lot of bird species like that, or is that quite unique to the kaki?
No, it does happen. Like some of the native ducks and the mallard ducks, there's a lot of hybridization there.
Yeah.
And a few of our native ducks, they're basically so hybridized that we don't have the original sort of duck left.
Oh my god!
It does happen.
Yeah. So we've got pairs, and they tend to nest in the same site every year. How many eggs do they lay?
I think they've got about 4 or 5 eggs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when are they laying, Pete?
Well, they're early breeders compared to most birds. So they start sort of making their nest around July, August. And so then they lay their eggs around late August, September.
Yeah.
And in the past, that was a good thing. But it does make them a bit vulnerable because with the predators, like the mustelids, the stoats, the weasels, the ferrets.
Feral cats
and rats.
And they've even
getting at the end of winter, they're really hungry.
Yeah.
So the exposed nests of the kaki on the riverbanks are pretty big targets.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's why, I mean, there's a lot of mahi being done down in the Mackenzie Basin to, you know, protect these birds. And we just wanted to talk about the Kaki Recovery Program. So this is a really cool kaupapa, where it's a kind of a collab between DOC and Isaac Conservation and Wildlife Trust. And I think, obviously, there's probably more people involved as well. So what they've been going out and doing is collecting kaki eggs from the riverbed and then raising the birds in captivity. And then also collecting eggs from those birds who are already in captivity and incubating those eggs, and then raising all those birds in captivity and then slowly integrating them into the wild. So now, like, the population has been so bolstered because we just had a release this year, and it was a big day for the Twizel community. Shout out Twizel. I think it was like 149 birds were released out into the wild.
Yeah, in August. That's amazing.
Which is incredible. Yeah. Nearly like doubled the population.
So the benefit and the captive breeding programs are done quite commonly for rare and endangered birds. And so you have a safe enclosed area that you can incubate the eggs, have the chicks are safe, you feed them up, and you feed them up to for the kaki it's between sort of 3 and 9 months, and then they're released back in the wild and they can fly and they can sort of fend for themselves, so they've got a much better chance of survival.
Yeah.
But having said that, without protective measures in place, they've only got about a 30% survival rate to get that altered.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's pretty low.
But this other big project that is underway...
The Te Manahuna Auraki Project.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the future of conservation in Aotearoa, where you don't just focus on a species and work on that individual species...
Because it's all connected, right?
Yeah, you look at these big catchments, and this one's got like 310,000 hectares in that upper Mackenzie Basin and Auraki Mountain National Park area. And so you do all the predator control, and you get out a lot of the weeds that are infesting the place, and you do this massive integrated protection project.
Amazing.
And then you're not just protecting the kaki, you're protecting all the other sort of endemic and other endangered birds, like the tarapuka, the black-billed gull, the tūturu whatu, the banded dotterels, and there's also like the tekapo ground wetter, and the Mackenzie skink.
Ribbles
down in there as well. So there's a lot of really important species and incredible plants, endangered plants. So they're doing that holistically.
Yeah, I love that. And so we just also wanted to talk finally about some pressures that are being put on the kaki. So obviously they've got mustelids, your weasel, stoats, rats, etc., predators, and then you've also got some aerial predators as well.
Yeah, the kahu, the Australasian hawk.
Which is your favourite bird.
Yes. And, you know, they've got to eat too. They've got to survive.
Everyone's got to eat.
But in the past, like, that was all in balance. Like, the ecosystem was in balance, and you need your predators at the top of the food chain.
Yeah.
So, but the kaki have developed techniques of diverting the kahu away.
Yeah.
They also swoop onto the kahu and try and scare it away in the air.
Love that.
So they've got some methods to try and reduce the number that the kahu.
Such smart birds. And then I also just finally wanted to talk about kind of the agricultural pressures that are happening to our braided river systems, particularly on the Canterbury Plains and in the Te Manahuna area. So, you know, our braided river systems are very, 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 very important because they reduce flooding, and, you know, with colonisation and the introduction of an intensive agriculture in the Canterbury Plains, there's just been like land has been reclaimed for farming, and it's like just done absolute fucking nightmares for these birds because it's taken away their habitat, and now you know, a lot of this land is farmland, and it's not what it was before. So yeah, I'm not making much sense, but I just get real pissed off about it. Yeah,
I mean, we need farming, but we've got to put farming in the right place, really. Yeah. And what's balancing it are things like this Te Manahuna Auraki project, where, you know, they're taking big areas of ecosystem and saying we're going to protect that.
Yeah,
but we need more of that. So, that's important.
Yeah. And also, finally, just wanted to say, don't drive on the riverbed, guys, between August and December.
That's the critical time for breeding.
Yes. And lots of other of the braided river birds as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you're hiking up those river systems and you see sort of birds circling above or making a lot of noise, then there's probably a nest nearby. Yeah. So, you know, be conscious of that and just try and avoid those nesting areas, because if you disturb them too much, sometimes the kaki abandon the nest because they're stressed.
Mm.
So it's just you know, living with nature, loving nature,
being
conscious of nature.
Absolutely.
We are part of nature.
We are part of nature, and we often forget that. And so, Pete, now you've got a song to finally end us on. Which is, I like it. I like the choice here today.
Yeah, there was only one song really, and it's Scribe. You know, not many, if any, and it's apt for the poor little kaki that got down to 23.
Yeah,
and we've got to turn that around so there's many rather than not many.
And then maybe Scribe could put out another song and it'd be called Mini.
Yes.
Thanks for coming in, Pete. Appreciate your whakaaro.
Kia ora.
Kia ora.
Yeah, yeah, and no one like me, yeah, yeah, yeah. Congratulations, you made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo. But I'm here now. So what you wanna do? How many dudes you really know? Flow like this, like this, like this. Let's do it. How many dudes you know roll like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, if any, not many, if any. How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody. Check, check to the mic, check a 1-2 from a crew coming through. Are you hype yet? Nowadays everybody wanna talk, baby, got someone on Scribe. Ain't got nothing when I'm up in the live. It came from when you're feeling the vibe. You know Scribe is taking me high. Level with the double bass, vibrate, shake the plates in your vertebrae. Y'all hear the man move like a RS. Subaru with a crew, come equipped like a body kit. Lyrically by Burnquist, so 1 foot is missed out to his tongue like a stale fish. This kid ain't aches from the vape when they get with the Scribe. I'm live like a 05, I got a vibe like a beehive. But when it wasn't from the square to the pier, but the seaside, I get y'all know the way that we ride around town on the down low. Never know what the flow pro drop, drop. Can't stop hip hop cause it don't stop. Check it out. Check it out. Check it out. Check it out. How many dudes you know roll like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, if any, not many, if any. How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody. How many dudes you know roll like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, if any, not many, if any. How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody. Something for the ride on cruise control. With the bass vibrate, shake the vibe like an earthquake. To this day, they're not good for y'all. You made a great mistake. I asked not to get booked to y'all. I'm sick with this. Flick the switch. Nitrous kick on the trip. It's a new shit. Real deal like Holyfield. And no telling if we ride like Mike, you just might. Rock right, do we drop tight? G Club, get it on, representing all night. Take flight like night kicks. The lip trick, send me quick. When the vibe hit, don't sit, just get on down. I'm profound with the sound. And we pound with the underground. Don't sit, just get on down. I'm profound with the sound. And we pound with the underground. How many dudes you know roll like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, if any, not many, if any. How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody. How many dudes you know roll like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, if any, not many, if any. How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this?
next time you come on down to North Canterbury. It's all good when you come down to my hood and come to South Canterbury. It's all good, it's all good when you come down to my hood and come to East Canterbury. It's all good, yeah, it's all good when you come down to my hood and go to West Canterbury. It's all good, yeah, it's all good up in my neck of the woods.
Isn't that beautiful?
That was Me and All My Homies Love Native Manu, only on 95 BFM.